Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful, and it's you know who, and you know who too. It's July 24th, 2025. It's time for your TNA Impact Live post show. Yes, they were live tonight. Yes, that was coming off the Slammiversary that was. You can check out the post show review here on Fightful in our archives. Myself and Steven Jensen did the bulk of it because Cresta was there. She did show up and gave some of her thoughts coming out of that particular show. We have plenty to talk about tonight. We have plenty for you to check out here on youtube.com/Fightful and over on Fightful Select. More about that later. But you know who I am? That's Joel Pearl. That's for those who don't know. I'm here somewhat often, and also over on Fightful Overbook. That's the other place where I'm at. But Cresta Starr is my co-host, who is the most professional woman in this space. How you doing, Cresta?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Pearl, it is I, Corporate Cresta. I am back, and after TNA Slammiversary, I have decided to turn heel. So now you guys are going to be getting the most professional, the most critical, but also the most professional corporate jargon and professional wrestling here on Fightful this fine evening. Thank you for asking me. Thank you for having me on, Joel.
Oh, it's so good to see you. I'm looking forward to talking about tonight. No, I'm not doing this. For those of you who missed Slammiversary, Steven Jensen and I talked about everything that happened on the show, everything that we thought, everything that we wanted, everything we didn't get, everything we desired, and everything we didn't get out of that desire. Tonight's episode was, in certain ways, a make or break for many TNA fans. And I have to be perfectly honest, this episode was not for me. This episode did a lot of not much. This episode featured one match in the first hour, an opener and a crossover with rah-rah TNA vibes, and just a reason to be here. I thought they've done stronger episodes of Impact Live. I thought they've done stronger taped episodes of Impact, for that matter. But on a night where I really think the fans' morale of TNA is lower than it's been in a while, don't think they hit it on the head. They gave you some good stuff, but I don't think they gave you enough. Crystal, what do you think overall tonight's show?
Well, my corporate answer is saying that this is just a pivot for TNA. It's not a pivot that I personally would have done. However, I do see them setting up this faction warfare. I do like the system face turn, but overall, you know, candidly speaking, between us and our constituents, I just found it a little odd that you're putting your former champions on before your actual champions, and then calling your actual champions the real champions. That just seems a touch odd to me. I said this offline, and I'll say it here. It just makes people who are at TNA for TNA, and like the system said, not just a stop in the road, but you make them look like dorks.
You say dorks, I say giant bitch. But anyway, not important. What's more important is you leaving a thumbs up on this video while we're here, and you can go ahead and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. mention Fightful Select. But if you want to support us right now on this particular show, you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or your statement read on the air, and also a little bit more on the Humper Chat side. Our pal Chris is going to tell us how, why, and when, and where, and all the stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your friend Corporate Cresta here. So now that you've gotten your paychecks, you're going to go ahead and insert that paycheck into humperchats.com. Yes, that is humperchats.com. We'll get to keep all of your paycheck, and the site keeps a little bit more, I guess. Myself and Joel will read off your comment, and we will care, I promise you, for that is the corporate FIFO way over on humperchats.com. If you don't do it, you will be docked 24 hours of pay. Thank you so much.
Seems a little excessive, but okay.
There's nothing I mean.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
Are you not entertained? This is all part of the show.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought we got paid last week, but you know, I guess I'm just off.
You're asking too many questions. You won't be paid, Mr. Pearl. Right, next question. Oh, next
okay.
question.
My mistake. Okay. Right. You should be wearing like a green suit. You got you match the hair, but you're not doing the green. Like you should be a member of Order 4 with all this.
Maybe next week. I will have to talk to Mr. Sapp about a bump in my pay. I'm going to have to exchange paychecks.
Good luck getting a hold of Sean on his day off. TNA Impact opens up with Santino Morello. I got you on that one. He gave, for those who missed it on Tuesday, let's go, you know what, let's even rewind a bit. Santino on Sunday after Slammiversary in a backstage video said that he was going to address the TNA title situation on NXT this week. Apparently Santino's way of addressing those title situations is to go out and give himself an NXT North American Championship spot this coming Tuesday on NXT. And then they tried to tell you, oh, we're leading by example. What are we doing here? The most apropos thing that he does in this entire opening 20-minute salvo of everyone and anyone coming out and talking is he does his little Hogan shtick. Hulk Hogan died today. Okay. We got that out of the way. Videos on Fightful and go. Yeah. And he does his, that's not going to work for me, brother, or whatever. He uses a brother line, and that's cute. But instead we have Masha Slamovich come out, and Masha says, I want a title back. I want to beat everyone like I did before. And then she says she wants her rematch next week. Why doesn't she ask for it tonight, knowing that JC Jane is in the building?
She's not cleared by medical.
Did anyone at any time actually say that? Or are you just playing up the bit?
I'm going to have to refer to Don Callis, but don't ask me what my sources are. Thank you so much.
That's what I thought. System comes out. The Shamasha fist bump because the face turn happened for the system. Cool. Edward Edwards says he bled for the company. He's also been, he's seen it fall, and he's been the one trying to take it down, but those days are done. He's committed to TNA. Meyer says TNA isn't a pit stop. It's where the system calls home. Moose says he wants to cement his legacy, just like AJ Styles after he accomplished everything in TNA. Moose puts over Leon Slater, and then he takes issue with Trick Williams, to which I say, why would you not just go after the NXT champion again? Why wouldn't you go after Obafemi? Why don't you take NXT gold, Moose? If you've done everything in anyway, this is a whole other can of worms. Trick comes out, puts himself over. First class Trick comes out, puts himself over, mentions Order 4 in passing, so that brings out Order 4. Ali tells Trick to keep his name out of his mouth or he'll have him buried just like The Undertaker, like that line. And then Ali calls them second class, says Order 4 is the top team in TNA, and then as he gets into the ring, Edward Edwards clocks him, and they brawl going into the commercial. This was a lot of things to get us nowhere, maybe a couple of matches out of it. Moose is certainly calling out Trick Williams. That's a thing that's happening. Cresta, what do you think of the opening 20 minutes of Santino and Friends?
Well, first of all, I would like to say Santino leading by example. What a smart man. We had another TNA guy back in the day. I don't know if you remember his name is Jeff Jarrett, who also used to lead by example with winning titles for him while he also booked the company. So, you know, I understand where you get that reference from. Furthermore, you know, jokes aside, because I can't do this all, because guys, this is horrible. I don't know how people do corporate all day. This is terrible. Jokes aside, if this is your pivot, in with all fairness, if this is your pivot to have Ali take it off a Trick and then have Ali versus Santana, hey, that is a banger. I'll give you that. I also enjoyed the fact that Eddie Edwards acknowledged the fact that he was once in Dark State situation, because I too remember Honor No More. So I appreciate them bringing up the past and being quote unquote honest. I'm sorry, Mercedes Moné is trying to run in again and be a jerk. Also, I don't know. It's always strange to me when you have people like Kazarian and First Class, just from a storyline standpoint. Why are you helping these guys? I'm really sports confused, and I would like to see you in HR, because you're literally helping interlopers, and that means you don't get a title. If anything, if this were a protest, you're a scab. I would also like to say that Masha, I agree, should have tried to make that match with JC Jane tonight, but you called it out for me on Twitter, because I was there at Slammiversary. I didn't see that she told the girls to stay in the back. I think you called it stupid baby face syndrome, because you know this girl is coming out to jump you with a team. Why wouldn't you bring your team, trying to steal all the glory? I don't know what next week is going to do versus your live event. To me, I'd rather you play hot potato here, but that is just me. I do like the face turn on the system, because you do have a lot of heart and soul strong guys. And I have to give First Class Trick the rub for him saying shut your bobblehead ass up, because I too have thought that respectfully in corporate.
Okay, that was pretty good. But it was, yeah, again, it was an opening rah-rah TNA segment that made very little sense. You're finally going to get your system versus order four match. That's coming your way. I know you've been clamoring for that for a while, Cresta. Were you expecting the system to be the baby faces here, or were you expecting the other way around?
Personally speaking, a heel versus heel isn't terrible. You could do your plunder matches that way. You can play up a real life comedy and still have hard hitting, hard matches. Do your plunder match, be done with it. However, the system turning face here does make sense, considering the way Slammiversary ended. Moose could have been bitter and bald, but instead he decided to give the rub to Leon Slater, which I commend and completely respect. And also in his Rasputin tonight, he was like, I want to become synonymous with TNA. And I respect that. Them being face makes sense. But also, baby faces right now are on the in TNA. So I do expect Order 4 to beat these guys up every week. Like, the system was beating up everybody every week. It's just a little sad to see the system going to be from a dominant faction to the, oh no, how could we have been tricked?
Yeah, I really hope they use some of their former bad self thoughts to make sense of some of the things that happened. Be like, oh, I remember when we did this to this group. We should know better. And we'll see. We'll see if they do stupid baby face. But I don't really put much stock into the creative of this company, because the two people who are running creative are not exactly known for being up with the times.
I thought you were going to say creative. That still would have been fine.
Well, that's another story for another time. Backstage after the break, Santino tells the system he needs to think about it, because he's so overwhelmed with everything that happened. And then Cardona comes in, and suddenly Santino's brain is completely okay and clear. Yeah, and Cardona says, I got your back, system, because you had my back, which again, they really jumped into the system babyface turn like this, because Cardona and Myers were having beef, and like Cardona was out, and then Dark State brought everyone together. So like Dark State is suddenly the company, not the company, Dark State is the group that like changes heels into baby faces, I guess. I don't understand why the system just suddenly made the switch. And then they had to doing it with Moose made sense, because he was the X Division champion and he was really, he was respecting Leon Slater and everything he did. But the other guys, it was just like, oh, we beat Dark State together. Good for us. Sure. Santino makes Major Players versus Great Hands tonight. And next week is going to be First Class Trick versus Moose, JDC, and Edwards. So we got that next week.
I will say, in my most corporate response ever, that if you look at it that way, sure, you could say, wow, you guys could just turn face on a dime. Or you could say that Dark State was like M. Bison, came into their lives and changed it. And for them, it was simply just another Thursday or a Tuesday. So maybe Dark State was what the system needed to get a system reset, because they have been a bunch of losers.
For anyone, I just noticed this, for anyone who's coming in here and seeing the Hulk Hogan graphic on our post show, I'm putting the kibosh on this now. I personally have nothing I need to talk about when it comes to Hulk Hogan, TNA, or anything like that. So I'm letting people know I'm talking about the show tonight. I'll probably change this graphic because I don't know who did the change, and I'm sorry to call out whoever did that. I understand there's an SEO factor, but I just don't want to mislead anybody. We'll probably change it to something like what happened next, which is the Inspiration introduced Mara Sade to defeat the Elegances. Well, we can confirm, and TNA did as well, that Mara Sade has signed with TNA, apparently. She has signed. They put pen to paper, they showed you, they announced it on the website, all that stuff. That's happening. It's good to see Mara Sade land somewhere and get a deal. And she teams up with the Inspiration. It's not Mara's first night on the job in TNA. She has worked as Jakara Jackson in TNA before, but now she was kind of making her debut, if you will, as Mara Sade. They defeat the Elegances. And this match was good. It was the first match. It took them an hour to get here almost, or I guess 30 minutes to get here. You know, open up with a bunch of comedy spots. Sade does a really good tornado DDT. The Idolizer on Heather gets the win, and I have two questions for you, Cresta, other than how was this match? I have three questions. One, what do you think of the match? Two, Ash by Elegance has a number one contendership to the Knockouts title. What? Why? Why, when, and how? Well, I know how. She won the Battle Royal. Why? And then the other, what changed to get her into... Sorry, I'm going to ask a lot of questions about that. The other thing is, why did Heather by Reckless and M by Elegance need to do a Rana Senton as a double team move?
These are all great questions, Mr. Pearl. Allow me to...
Glad we're having this conversation.
That was a lot. So let me go ahead and try to answer you in the most corporate way as possible. Ash by Elegance has a title shot because why not? TNA right now, the T stands for turn, pivot with a T, power bourrée, tippy toe. Yes, that. Also, man, I would have to do something too. I will never take away from the Elegance's way to weasel into a win, especially M and Heather. They were really chopping it up in this match. I have to give them their props for that. As far as Mara Sade, great acquisition for TNA. I always thought it was strange. I was sports confused rather when WWE let her go, considering the show out that her and Lash Legend had for the Knockouts World title. So it's a little strange to me. I think she's a great addition. I think that with these girls, there's another power girly in the mix. Just give her some reps, give her some time, and not now. But that is someone I could see wrestling Masha Slamovich. Again, not now, relax. I know people get a little onery, but I think with a couple of reps under her, she could do some numbers. I think this was a great acquisition on them. Also, we got to do something about George Iceman. This Canadian is always running us down, being rude and cheating. Something's got to be done.
I mean, he runs down the crowd. That's good enough, right?
I thought Canadians were supposed to be nice. Look at you, Joel Pearl, a nice Canadian.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add to that one. Anyway, I'm looking forward to where Mara Sade falls into this company. They're building up Indy Hartwell right now. They have other talent that they're trying to do something with. I'm hoping that she doesn't get lost in the shuffle, but if her debut is to work with the Inspiration and then to work against the Elegances, then it's a good start. I'm willing to watch them kind of build her spot and not just throw her into like a Knockouts title match. And also, I don't think that they're going to cross her over back to NXT. I think it would be cute if they do a little, you know, meet up, her and Lash kind of see each other again. And maybe they just play stupid, you know, new name, who dis, right? Uh-huh. But I don't know for sure. I think I think having her on the brand is good. I don't think she needs to be on NXT anytime soon. I just think it'd be nice to start her slowly. And someone in the chat's asking, like, where's Jada Stone? Right? They and Mila Grace. I do this every week.
I think it's Mila, but well, it's with the,
yeah, there's a Mila and a Mila. Either way.
Oh no, you're screwing me up now.
Right? Regardless, there are plenty of people who are joining the Knockouts division. My hope is that they start building those people because, I mean, later on in the night, we'll talk about the JC Jane promo and what that meant. But yeah, it's Mila. Is it Mila or is it Mila? Because there's both. There's both. That's the question.
We're just going to need her to come on the show and correct us in person. That's an open invitation to you, Miss Grace.
No, I'm fine. Mila Moore, Mila Grace, as I'm being told in the chat.
Mila Moore, Mila Grace. Thank you so much for that, because we are dyslexic over here.
Well, it's more like they have both, and they don't have both on the show at the same time very often, so I just don't know for sure.
I am dyslexic. I'll take accountability.
Okay. Yeah, the people in chat saying they're slowly rebuilding the Knockouts division, and that is kind of what... It's what needs to be done, but you also need to build it with cohesive storylines and not just pairing up two Knockouts to become a tag division. You do need a tag division, but I don't know how they're going to do this.
But this is a TNA playbook staple. When in doubt, the Knockouts division and the X division, and that was very prevalent throughout this entire episode, especially with Leon Slater's rah-rah speech as well.
Oh, we'll get to that one too. Gabby LaSpeeza tries to interview Mike Santana. He gets up and walks away. In my notes, it just says, Gabby LaSpeeza with Santana, dash, nope. And then she finds Indy Hartwell. Indy calls Tessa's attack on Gia pathetic. And then she says she's focused on becoming the Knockouts champion. Danny Luna walks in, thanks Indy again for helping her. And then Victoria Crawford comes in and says now she's a mentor. And I'm like, do we have to? Could you take a break as well? Would that be okay with you, please? But instead, Victoria Crawford is now going to mentor somebody.
I was sports confused because the last person you mentored, they got suspended indefinitely. I would go ahead and be so far to say, in my corporate knowledge, your mentorship is ineffective. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Furthermore, you didn't even win a match when you were here. Who are you mentoring? If I am Indy Hartwell and Danny Luna, respectfully, because like, I don't know what the equivalent of an unk is for an auntie, but I would have to jump that auntie. Get away from me. I don't know what you're up to. And this is professional wrestling. No one's suspended indefinitely forever. And I don't trust you. Beat it.
Yes. I find it's kind of apropos that Victoria Crawford is a bad mentor because she got her last mentee suspended, but that's exactly what crazy ass Victoria Crawford would do, is cause somebody to go so crazy that they would get suspended. So maybe this is the perfect thing for Victoria Crawford to be doing. However, it's not something I would be doing with this character. I don't know what else you could do, so here we are. Can't put her with the system, they have somebody. Can't put her with Order 4, they have somebody. Oh my god. You think AJ Francis wants another person in the group?
I think that you're onto something, though, because at first I wasn't for it. But when you said, well, her being a bad mentor, that would be fantastic. And it could end with her in a match with someone that she screwed over or a bunch of peoples that she screwed over. As far as her with AJ Francis, I don't know, man. There's a certain swag, even though these guys are corny, they're not that corny. So I don't know if she would fit that swag. Atasha Steeles would fit that swag. Mara Sade would fit that swag. Did I say her name, new name right?
Oh, that's a good shout. Mara with First Class.
But I don't know how she would feel about helping guys from a place she just got fired from. Again, First Class has no loyalty. They have no loyalty. They don't. So, you know, as much as I root for AJ Francis in real life, in kayfabe, I would set his locker on fire.
That seems a little excessive to me.
People die in the TNA locker room. I think that's the nicest thing I could do.
And that is probably the nicest thing you could do. Speaking of people who do crazy things in locker rooms, EY's backstage with the Northern Armory. Basically, he's telling us he's crazy and he's right and he'll cleanse this place. And I'm thinking, are you bringing back Violent by Design? Because this is the only thing that makes sense. The Ghost is, once again, the Ghost of TNA is the most level-headed and correct person in TNA. He knows who Hometown Man is. He knows
breaking character for this one. I don't want to talk about that.
He knows.
I want to talk about Travis Williams' face, Joel.
Go for it. That's true. The man's one of a kind.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you what Eric Young said. Because Travis Williams in the background. You're a clown and you're now my new favorite wrestler. Because what was this the whole time Eric Young was talking about? I want, he looked like me at Benny Hannes. He looked like me when Joe Hendry come out. He looked like me at an all-you-can-eat buffet. He looked like Paul Heyman looking at Roman Reigns. I don't know what that was. I literally have no notes. I said Travis Williams is so unserious. Because there was no way. Eric Young is like, I hate this place. You guys are terrible. And this guy in the background is like,
he's so hungry. Someone told him to make out with the camera and he decided to do it literally.
This man, if I went to the school of Don Callis for facts for Don Callis or whatever, this man went to the school of Cal O'Reilly because he's very unserious.
Was it Travis who did it or was it Judas?
Icarus? The one who has the hair.
That's Judas Icarus.
Travis
is bald.
Bald. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to besmirch your name, Travis.
You said you were going to remember this.
I don't. I lied. I'm sorry. I'm taking accountability. Much like a wrestler, Crest the Star has lied. I hope you guys could forgive me.
I knew it. I knew something was wrong. I was like, Travis Williams is usually the guy who's pretty stoic.
Judas Icarus is my new favorite wrestler because honestly, I want to cut a promo and someone to just look at me like that in the background.
Current prestige wrestling champion.
Beat
old Dick kicking Allen Angels for that one.
Johnny TV don't even look at Taya like that.
Damn.
I want someone to look at me like that. I literally have to pull out my fan. I'm laughing so much.
My God. He is also funny on Twitter, by the way. All right.
I need to go follow him instead of Travis Williams. Sorry.
I like them both. They're very nice guys. Very good at what they do. Leon Slater comes out. He has the other X Division title, the one with the black strap. And I'm like, I kind of like the Moose one better. I didn't see other than the color of the strap, which was like a lighter tan. I don't know if there was anything different about it because I never saw like a close-up picture. I assumed like Moose's insignia was somewhere on it. But like if it was just the color of the strap, I probably would have kept it because I think it looked good like that. But he's got the original X Division title with the black strap, puts over Moose, puts over talking, you know, AJ Styles coming in and giving him the rub and basically says, I want to bring the X Division back to its roots with speed, innovation, athleticism, and agility. He promises a very special reign. And to me, that means I think we're getting Ultimate X at Emergence, which I won't hate it. I
thought he was going to announce a Bound for Glory tournament. Like, I thought you were really going to be that guy.
They could have. It would have probably made this episode a lot better. But instead, they didn't announce Ultimate X at Emergence. They might tonight because they're still taping some more for next week's episode. And tomorrow night, they'll be taping for the next 2 weeks of shows. But just a thought. They're doing an X Division Triple Threat title match next week. We'll get to that when we get closer to the main event. But the Hardys come out. And they just, again, pats on the back. And then for some reason, Jeff Hardy, who is apparently a 60-year-old man who watches BET, says it's the Hardy Soul Train and does it with the whole Soul Train. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yo, Joel, you just popped me too.
It's like Jeff Hardy out here making the weirdest references imaginable for Jeff Hardy, this guy from like Bumble Frig, North Carolina. He's not 50 yet, but for some reason, this dude is watching Soul Train.
Jeff, the Hardys have always been invited to the cookout.
I get it. I get it. It's just so out of nowhere for him to suddenly be like, it's the Hardy Soul Train.
That's fantastic. I need that to be your intro every time you just come in somewhere. It's the Joel. So I can't hit puberty, but yeah.
Trying to do without waking up my family. Oh my God. Then Macklin comes out. He says he's upset with Slammiversary, and he says he's upset that the world titles are on people who don't even work here. And then he says that the people in the ring are real TNA champs. And of course puts over Leon Slater. He uses everyone's gimmicks, which I appreciate. I thought it was a really well done promo, really well spoken. And then he basically says, like, whoever dares step to TNA, they're going to start a war. And it was another rah-rah TNA segment, this time with the actual champions. I don't hate that it was these guys doing it, because they are the actual flag bearers for TNA. They are the people who work for the company. You've got some long-term guys, some OG guys. You've got a youngest champion ever. Like, the mix works, but it's still, again, no one's pissed enough. No one's pissed enough about what happened. They're just kind of going through the motions. Macklin was the first person to come out and actually look like he was, like, authentically upset about what happened at Slammiversary. Santino was like, I'm taking matters into my own hands by giving myself a title match. It's like, well, that's poor leadership, but that's also what I expect from Santino. And then you've got Masha coming out and being like, I want my title back and I want it next week. And we already talked about that. And just everything's very messed up. It's very messed up. But Macklin seems to be the first person who actually, like, cares enough to be upset about it. And as a result, like, it kind of saved the segment, but I did not need two rah-rah TNA segments in this show, let alone opening and doing the crossover. Your thoughts?
I will say, just as a programming note from my years of corporate extensive experience, that I probably would have put this on at the top of the hour. The first promo would have most likely been this. If you want to show that TNA is still standing, show that you still have your champions, that these are people that you can put your trust in. Because I want to give Steve Macklin, in particular, Mr. Stephen Macklin, his flowers in particular. He came in being a guy that people are like, oh, this guy from WWE. And now he's literally, he's one step away from Eddie Edwards, from a Moose, in that same heart and soul vein. Like, I'm beginning to think of Steve Macklin as synonymous with TNA. So I'll give him his flowers for that. And I think that, again, if these guys would have started off with their, okay, maybe I'm mad, like Steve Macklin, definitely. And then going into the next segment with the people who actually lost, they should have been pissed prestidigitation. Totally agree. No one's mad enough yet. If anything, it feels like you guys are going through the motions. You know, I can name a place that I currently live in the United States of America that's doing the same, but I digress. It was nice to see all of these people together. I really am surprised for two things for Leon Slater, that he didn't come out and the Hardys didn't say Leon Hardy, and he didn't have the Willow belt or some version of it. I kind of thought he would have, to be honest with you. I think this is fine. If we are going to build Macklin, Slater, and the Hardys until you get your main belts back, do it in earnest. Don't give them throwaway matches like you've done with Joe Hendry. Don't give them throwaway matches like you've done with the system. Actually build them up and give them someone credible. It shouldn't take for Joe Hendry on his way out to have the hardest night of work of his life. And that's just me giving you honest critique, you know, corporate critiques. You know, I think that there is something there to be done if you're going to do the storyline that we're getting pilfered. But if these guys lose, I don't know at that point. If Macklin loses, if Leon loses, especially the people who don't work here, at that point, I don't know, TNA. I can only defend you so much. I'm a corporate scum. I'm not a lawyer.
Why doesn't Joe Hendry give a shit?
Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
I've said this before, and I know sometimes it comes off meme-y, but in all seriousness, why would I? If I am Joe Hendry, why would I? Jesus Christ, beans and rice. I'm so sorry.
Wow, that's impressive. Everything went off there. That was amazing. Were you getting a phone call and your Discord was going ham? I love it.
That was the Discord call before someone said, I'm calling you right now, before I thought I was on do not disturb. It's
so funny.
Corporate Crest is fired. If I was Joe Hendry, after putting up viral numbers, after going and making people, whether you agree or not, making people care about TNA through a silly song or whatever it is, people were paying attention. People were looking. I would kind of put AJ Francis in that same thing, because you've got the partnership with the influencers. You're trying to put TNA out there in a way that is different to the way TNA has been, whatever. And you know what I got for it? I got beat by Moose. I got beat by Nemeth, and then I won it back, and then I got Kazarian to fight, and then I think I got Moose. I'm trying to think of who he fought, and it was never like an actual storyline. It was, you made fun of me in the past. I didn't like that. Santana was the only guy tonight to give him something, a wrestle. Joe was working tonight, but is that Joe's fault? Is that Joe's fault? I don't think. So if I was Joe Hendry, I would do the same, and honestly, I don't, knock on wood, Allah, Buddha, Jesus, Cthulhu, whoever, I don't want the same for Santana, but the writing's on the wall already, because this is exactly, bar for bar, what you did to Hendry. Exactly. So, you know, people don't quit good jobs. People quit bad management, so.
Joe should just stop Santino's match. He should just beat up Santino on Tuesday.
I thought he was going to turn heel on Santana tonight.
I mean, he looked like he was close to it. I wouldn't, you know what? Forget it. Let him turn heel. Let him beat up Santana. Let him be the turncoat and go after Ethan Page and take the NXT title. But the problem is, like, there's no proper story here other than I'm winning a title that I'm going to come in to win legitimately sometime soon. So it doesn't work the same way.
No, absolutely. I thought I muted. I'm sorry. I hear my typewriter. No, absolutely. It's just the bigger issue here in Joe's case, and I don't think he's isolated. I think Joe, Ali, Santana, Macklin, and something, because I feel like there was a time they were angling something to do something, and then nothing happened. Ali, I will even say, is a different story, because Ali go, he come, he go, he come. But again, if I am Joe Hendry, I revamped my character. If on the outside looking in, maybe you guys thought he'd be a mid-card joke, but he got insanely over. So why not pivot? It is okay to pivot. And then you guys did it. If you guys already have in your mind what you're going to do for Santana, and if that doesn't include him winning at Bound for Glory in October, we literally just did this. You can't tell me that the macaroni and cheese is new and improved because you changed a letter on the box because it says mac and cheese now. It's the same thing. It is the same thing.
I'm trying to follow the mac and cheese versus mac and cheese reference you're making.
Oh, you remember how Kraft mac and cheese used to say macaroni and cheese on the box early 90s?
No, we were always just Kraft dinner here because we're Canadian. We knew what it was.
Well, here in good old America, they used to say Kraft macaroni and dinner and stuff, and now it says Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Anyway, an update on the Victoria Crawford saga. She got Danny Luna and Indy Hartwell a match against Jody Threat and Ariana Grace next week on Impact. That is the most "we don't know what we're doing" matchup I've ever heard. They're putting Danny and Jody against each other again.
Some people will never be free. It's like, remember when Macklin first came in to TNA? He said, "I don't want to be a tag team." And then they put him in every tag team they could think of.
This was
Macklin and Cheese.
That's the joke I wanted to make, but my brain wasn't allowing for it. Macklin Cheese. The tag match is Danny and Indy. What is this? Yeah, Danny. It looks like it's the way they've explained it is Danny and Indy versus Jody and Ariana Grace.
Ariana Grace is not even really a wrestler. How did she have control to book something? Santino, you didn't veto this? Who? Somebody cue the gift. Who's booking this?
Took it upon herself to go to Santino and get the match. This is a social post they made.
Santino can't say no. Is his mouth broken? I'm sorry. That was not very corporate of me.
Oh, he's too busy getting himself a North American Championship match.
Jeff Jarrett would be proud. You're right. I apologize.
Leading by example or something. Let's move on. Best match of the night. Jake something defeats Mance Warner. No disqualification. This was a fun match. This was easy to do. Jake something getting a well-deserved victory. Mance Warner and Steph DeLander lose nothing by having a good hardcore match. Superplex onto the chairs is great. Something punches a chair into Mance's face because that's just what you do. Thumbtacks are on the floor. Belly to back suplex onto the tacks. For both men, really, but it was something doing the move. And then a black hole slam from Jake Something for the win over Mance Warner. I'm still waiting for Jake Something versus Steve Macklin for the International Championship. This was a fun match. It was good stuff. This was something they needed to get out of the way, and I'm glad they did it. Your thoughts on these two?
This match was fun. I always enjoy a man who looks like a bovine, respectfully, compliment, and I will always enjoy them slapping meat, whether it is tender, slender meat, Mance Warner, or big ol' beefy hoss, respectfully. My only critique, because I feel like this was just a match that had to happen, sure, fine. Why are they fighting each other if you're mad about what happened with Fourth Row?
Because it was Mance who knocked out Jake Something that led to the finish. So Something was pissed at Mance for hitting him, and that led to the finish.
On the one hand, yes, but consider the following. 3 weeks prior to Slammiversary, or even 4 weeks at this point, you guys fought each other. You fought Macklin, and Macklin fought each of you. Then followed up to this. So you guys' chemistry was already dog. That being said, wouldn't you want to fight the guy who beat you? I know why you probably wouldn't, but I'm just saying storyline-wise to say, well, he took him out. Well, you guys weren't friends to begin with.
Fair.
I think TNA has bigger fish to fry.
The problem is you have to tell both both sides of the story. You have some titles, like not everything can be NXT. Some people do need to focus on TNA championships in TNA.
I mean, it certainly won't be TNA focusing on TNA championships in TNA.
Well, Fatal Influence comes out with JC Jane. They call it, she calls NXT the deepest women's division in wrestling, which is not the first time you've ever heard that. She puts over the Knockouts division, says her wants, she wants her name to be synonymous with the Knockouts division and wants to have like the best reign ever. And then she starts running down the Knockouts division, says, you know, calls the undeniable diamond that gets suspended monthly, talking about Tessa, everything but elegant. We know the elegance is, Rosemary and Crawford are certifiable is what she effectively says. And she's right. Zaya Brookside is ready for a music festival. And then she says, she can't stop calling her Zaya Lee. And I'm sitting there like, wait, that's not her name.
Yeah, when she said Zaya Lee, I was like, wrong program, baby. Wrong program.
And she was still programmed to say her WWE name because that's where she's coming from. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, wait a minute. Her name was Laying Lee, but you don't know this, do you? When was the last time you saw her?
Nobody watches the TNA
It was just, I guess it's just live TV. But I was like, wait a minute, that's not her name anymore. And then she says the Knockout, but she's done nothing. And she's talking about Indy Hartwell. This was fine. It's just you got the match against Masha, and then it feels like, so if I'm kind of matching this up until Bound for Glory, it feels like you're going to do another Masha match. This is probably going to be a wonk finish this week. The next show is Emergence. I assume Ash by Elegance is going to drop the tag titles to the Iconics or to the Inspiration. And then Ash has her, thank you. And then Ash has her title match. And I assume that title match will be a Victory Road in Edmonton in September. And then she'll lose that. And then we'll go back to Masha in October. So JC holds on to the title through Bound for Glory. And that's just how they do it. Maybe one of the people mentioned will get a title match. I don't know who that is. It feels like Indy's going to have to wait until next year at this point, unless Masha isn't the challenger and it's Indy somehow against JC Jane. But I don't think that's the right way to do things. I'd rather it be Masha and then have Masha and Indy do something in the new year. Again, assuming that Masha Slamovich is sticking around with TNA because Masha Slamovich re-signed in January and we don't know how long that deal is. Most TNA deals are a year in nature, so we don't know is happening in that plane. Your thoughts on JC and what I just laid out for a timeline on her title reign, her memorable amazing title reign that she wants to have.
I would like for just one shock finish, you know. And I think about the Knockouts division as a pillar in the women's division in the women's wrestling world in general, but I don't know, man. I don't know who this helps. I don't know how this helps. I think there was a real opportunity to do something historic here with Masha. I feel like the past couple of TNA Knockouts championships have been historic runs. I'm thinking of Deanna's champ, the last rodeo, everything Jordynne Grace has done. You know, there was a real opportunity for you to do something here, But I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm sports disinterested. And I wanted to listen to what she said, but I think about the matches that Masha puts on. You could have at least had a clean finish, but here we are. And you're going to keep it on the chicken shit heel. Just like you have, we have the same two people holding the top TNA titles. I'm very sports disinterested. Even if that's how you run it, I guess. Is Indy going to tell someone to stay in the back? Are we going to ban these girls from ringside? No, we're not. And then we're going to drag it out to Slammiversary or not Slammiversary, drag it out to Bound for Glory. That's in October, bro. The end of October at that. I don't know if I have that in me. I don't know. You're on your final write-up with me with the Knockouts division. And I don't know if I want to give you a chance. You might need a doctor's note. And it might have to be like a Stokely Hathaway one that said he's sick. I don't know.
Someone in the chat asking, what if Masha wins next week? Then that's 2 weeks too late. It's just 2 weeks too late. She comes and regains her title, but at what cost?
maybe do it on the live show, but this next week doesn't mean anything. This was the live show.
Yeah, the next live show is in September. They're doing one, I think, September 4th, which is just after Labor Day weekend. There's no reason to do it now. But also it would be the most TNA thing to do because it's a mix of here, damn, and also, you know, look at us, we made up for Slammiversary. Do you love us again?
Literally heavy on the here, damn.
Pretty much. I don't think her winning is going to accomplish much. That's why I just think they'll wonk the finish and then keep them apart until Bound for Glory. They got to have Masha get built up somehow. She should honestly send her to NXT and go through everyone like a house of fire. Have her look like, you want to talk undeniable, she should be the undeniable one coming into the show. But instead, they got to keep babyface sympathy on her and make her look weak so that she can come in and then beat JC Jane, who is being built as like the weakest champion, but it keeps winning. And it's just, again, the dynamics are weird. They just continue to be weird. So I don't know what they're going to do. I just think that it was a choice. You know, it's not the one I would have made.
I think you are being far too kind with weird. I just feel like at this point, you're giving Masha, this is a very specific reference. I don't know if you remember when they first called up Shayna Baszler from NXT and how she was in the Elimination Chamber. She beat all these girls up just to lose to Charlotte.
I'm sorry. You're thinking, when I think of her call up, I think about her vampire biting Becky Lynch. I thought that's where you were going with this.
You know what? That's good. I retract my statement. That's better. Never mind what I said. That's way better.
Kate mentioning TNA being booked strong on NXT. Ha 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 ha. It's true. That's the reality of it. It's just dumb.
It's unfair to TNA. I don't know what the game plan is, and I keep coming back to, I guess you're trying to sell.
Someone in the chat being like, I legit thought Joel quit TNA. So again, this is an ongoing conversation. We literally going on the air tonight. We're talking about what we're going to do moving forward with TNA. I never said that this would be the last show. That Slammiversary would be the last one. We said we were going to cover the live Impact because we had hopes for this. Can't tell you that tonight's episode delivered on the renewed hopes, but Cresta and I and Sean will be having ongoing talks as to whether or not we keep going with these post shows. There's talk of maybe just taking a break, but we'll see where the cards land. Maybe you'll just
ready to be corporal scum to you guys every Thursday.
Maybe I'm just going to rip off Sour Graps for a couple of months.
Listen, I feel the way I feel about TNA and about wrestling in general is that I go to be sports entertained. I will tell everyone, and including you, Joel, I had a lot of big feelings after Slammiversary. After sleeping on it and thinking about it, I don't want it to be relegated down to lol TNA.
They did that to themselves.
But it is lol TNA. So I say follow your heart, but I'm going to lol TNA right back. If we're going to be sports entertainment, I'm going to find my own enjoyment. So
you enjoy Saturdays and the odd Thursday when Collision's on there. Yeah, what's Fightful going to do on Thursdays? Enjoy a night off.
That part. I won't lie. Cresta Star won't lie. A Thursday night off means more karaoke for me.
We don't need to be live 7 days a week. I can tell you that, friends. We got plenty of interviews that we can be dropping. I'm about to go on a little road trip. That's why we're not doing an emergence post show, because I'll be in Ottawa covering C4. They do an amazing show called Fighting Back, which is for cancer research. They do a benefit show for that. This year, they're doing it bigger than they've ever done it. I'll be in Ottawa covering that show on the Friday, and then I'll be in Greektown Wrestling the next night, which actually plays a role in the next match we're going to talk about. But like, that's what's going on. Someone asking, where's the spotlight? Spotlight's on overbooked. Has been for months. That's why we don't have Thursdays going on. We're not throwing shade at Collision. I'm pointing out the fact that Cresta still has fun on Collision.
I like wrestling. I'm a dork. So whether you are giving me great matches, storylines, or hot, sweaty men slapping me, or hot, sweaty women slapping me, I'm going to look. I've been disappointed by professional wrestling, World of Warcraft, RuPaul's Drag Race, you name it. At some point, you have to choose to be entertained. So I get annoyed, yes, I'm sure, but I'm TNA Slammiversary isn't even the worst disappointment I have seen in TV history. And I don't watch Game of Thrones or Dexter. So, you know, I don't know. I get it because it made me want to spit. But at the same time, you know, if you got jokes, so do I.
I can just go to bed at a reasonable hour, but that's just me. Great Hands defeat the major players. Why are the system using their old theme again? They got a new theme at Slammiversary. Who made that mistake?
They're good guys now. They're good guys now.
But the good guys theme is the one that they use at Slammiversary. This is their private party moment.
Why not?
Cardona using the Unpretty Her was cute. Lish and Tasha Steele's get into it. For some reason, I've written in my notes Lish and Edwards. I'm pretty sure that's the same person. Lish and Tasha Steele's get into it. Ali was getting into it too. And then a large Secret Service member does a choke bomb on Cardona that gets the win for the Great Hands. So this was a funny couple of minutes where I said, I'm pretty sure that's Big Bill Collier, but I'm not totally sure. And then I went and I was just scrolling on Twitter and I saw I had a message request from our pal Jose Gonzalez, who's also known as Jose on the Air. And he's like, hey, I don't know if you're doing a show tonight, but I want to let you know who the guy is if you are. And I replied, who is it? I think it's Big Bill Collier. And he immediately replies, it was Bill Collier. LOL. So yes, my eyes do not deceive me. He wears glasses, I guess. But you know what? The thing is, the shape of Bill's head is what gave it away. Anyway, Big Bill Collier was the big dude who hit that choke bomb on Cardona. You see him a lot on Independence in the Northeast. I've seen him at Greektown Wrestling in Toronto quite a lot. He is tall. He is big. And it looks like he's going to play a bigger part in the story. It's not new for TNA to be using him. He was part of the Border Brawl, which was the show that they did a while back that was on Zonify, where, like, if you want a good laugh, go watch that show. But Bill was on that one. You ever want to see the Canada versus USA conversation, which then ends in everybody hating one thing instead of they all hated the system. They came together as Canada and the US to beat up the system, which is like something I would do. But also you can't not important. Big Bill was there. So that's the match. Anything you want to add about Great Hands and major players?
Chelsea Green for president.
I agree. Kazarian comes out to do commentary. I thought this was very funny.
This was fantastic.
So funny. Kazarian comes out. He's sitting in commentary. He's running down everybody. And then Matt Raywell's like, nah, even this is too much for me. What you did Slammiversary was egregious. And so Daniel Spencer, the referee, comes out with the security and tosses him, gets him ejected before even getting started. And I thought that was just so silly and so funny, but good for them. There was a digital exclusive where Leon Slater was congratulated by Cedric Alexander. And then he says, well, I'm giving the first match to Jason Hotch. And for some reason, that's now a triple threat. So Leon Slater, Cedric Alexander, and Jason Hotch have an X Division title three-way next week. Then they must take on the Rascals, Masha versus JC for the Knockouts title, and then Moose Edwards, JDC versus First Class Trick. Looking like it's going to be a fun show. Whether or not they deliver on anything is a completely separate story.
Leon in the same ring as Cedric Alexander?
Yes.
Is not something that I had on my bingo card or knew that I needed. But much like people buying up land they shouldn't, I need that. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
No, he's on Fridays.
Maybe he needs to be his BFT over here, okay?
Big friggin' anyway. Mike Santana defeats
Big friggin' toe, BFT.
Oh, Steven Larson once used ChatGPT to call it billionaire finger trap, and I thought that was perfect.
That's what ChatGPT is meant to be used.
That's the only time I've ever been like, that was good. AI did one thing good. Billionaire finger trap. Shout out to Steven Larson. Mike Santana defeats Joe Hendry. No talking from either side going into this match. No one wanted to talk ever. They just wanted to fight. Good back and forth between these two. They know each other's moveset. They know each other well. They've had matches against each other along the way. Hendry's using an Olympic slam, to which I said, Steve Macklin must be pissed. Good counters. Good counters, wrestling spots going into the near falls. And then eventually Santana gets a jackknife pin on Hendry to win. Hendry's visibly upset about this, but they go head to head, shake hands. And that's it. a solid match main event with no stakes and no one's pissed off enough. And yeah, like Kate's saying in the chat, great title defense. Oh, wait. Imagine if this had been for the title. Imagine if people were out here in a bigger, you know, room full of people excited to watch TNA in Kingston, Rhode Island, seeing Mike Santana come out with that title for the first time to defend it against Joe Hendry because he respects Joe so much and he deserves the opportunity. But instead, we just had a one-on-one match with no stakes. Again, just to solidify once again that Santana's the guy that you're going to be strung along for the next 3 months.
Earlier in the program, you had alluded to this feels like a here damn match. And that's how I felt here as well. A lot of people, you as well, Mr. Pearl, said Joe doesn't care. He don't work at the office.
He still doesn't.
And tonight he worked. Tonight he very visibly worked. I got to tell you, I'm still sports confused at the choice to keep it on Trick Williams in such a lame fashion at that. Like, at least let the man earn his keep. And I think that's one thing about TNA fans that they could take. At least earn your keep. At least earn your keep. You know what I mean? I think that if Joe Hendry had more matches like he had with Mike Santana, with people like Santana, people would give Joe Hendry a lot less grief. But if you put him in matches against Frankie Kazarian every other week, what did you expect? What did you expect? So I think this should have been for the title. Oh, wait. I think that it's a little weird that this is happening this way. And you two, again, be mad at each other, sure. But I'm not that mad at you that I'm going to let Trick Williams just walk out here and talk crap. Also, can we jump first class before we fight each other? Because the last thing we need is some traitors. And it's only three of them that seem to be on board. First class, AJ Francis, Casey Navarro, and Frankie Kazarian. Learn from Bully Ray. Time to pour some battery acid on people. Oh, I'm sorry. Take them out for a long company retreat to the middle of nowhere and then take their Uber.
Seeing PCO in a month.
You better not get battery acid poured on you.
Oh, they're working a church, brother. I don't think they're going to do that to me.
Come on. Crest of Star is going to refrain from saying that joke because it's blasphemous.
I prefer it that way. Please hit us with your... No, don't do the blasphemous joke. But that's TNA Impact. That was the live show. I don't know what next week will bring. There will be conversations. I saw Kate in the chat mentioning that when her and SB3 were talking about what to do with Ring of Honor post-show, it took them a few months to get there. We've been ongoing with this conversation for a while. But it really felt like if they weren't going to stick this landing... I mean, Mike Santana is not from Boston, put it like that. And I don't know if I want to do this run again where we sit here and wait for JBL to clothesline the champion. So we'll see if we're going to come back next week or if we're just going to take a few weeks off. Might be for the best, but we'll find out. Cresta never goes away. Like TNA, I'm not gonna call you the cockroach of Fightful because that's not you.
I was expecting it, and I called myself Enzo Amore, so I am a cockroach.
That's the Jeff Hawkins of Fightful. That's Jeff Hawkins is the cockroach of Fightful. Shout out to Jeff, love him. Someone's saying, what about a monthly TNA Fightful recap? We definitely do the pay per view post shows, like the tentpole pay per views, the four quarterly ones, the plus shows we used to do more of, but they haven't put any emphasis on the plus shows from month to month, or they've aired them at weird times local to where they were, so it didn't make sense for us to do them. So we just don't know what we're going to do. These weekly shows, I've said this on In the Weeds, which is a show that I do over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our morning show. I was telling Jeremy, I said, the completionist in me doesn't want to stop this. But I also understand, and I fully know, that this particular post show is the one that is the most watched by people who cover TNA, who listen to TNA, who pay attention to TNA. I understand that. I take pride in that. I take pride in the fact that there are people who work for the company who watch us, who have thoughts on us, who have praised us and have taken us to task on certain things. I pride myself on the work that we've done together for the last few years and the people that come in our chat and want to talk about TNA every single week. There is a benefit to that. However, there's another, sorry, I'm ranting. However, there is another side to this. And the other side of it is, if they're not going to give us the respect by booking a show that's worthwhile, then maybe we don't need to give them our time. It's nice to get our money, but it might not be worth our mental health at this point. Even if we want to clown on it, I can clown on it in the mornings and be well rested. So yeah. I open the floor to any thoughts you have.
So all jokes aside, and I don't know if I said this on this post show or if I said it on SP3 show, I'm very grateful for TNA. TNA is the reason why I've met Joel, and I think he's fantastic, Kate and the people at Fightful. So I'll always be a fan of TNA. The company, the wrestlers, the people. I don't know these people personally, and maybe one day I will, but until that day, I'm still going to root from afar. When Joel tells me that the people watch our show, whether they work for TNA or not, I'm like, wow, people know who I am, and I think it's pretty cool. And I always try to be respectful because I enjoy TNA, and I know it's not easy to go in there every week and throw your bodies around for God knows however. That being said, I do like to watch decent wrestling. And if you're going to fight for the sake of fighting, no problem. I could get jiggy with that shit. But if you're going to tell me that there's a storyline and then there isn't one and then tell me, wow, what are you, stupid? I don't, what? I mean, I'm joking today with Corporate Cresta, but low key, if this is how it's going to continue, because I literally just watched this with Joe Hendry, I'd rather be like somebody said earlier, Marshawn Lynch. I'm here so I could get paid. And if that's how you, because that's how I feel like your guys are booking. Here, damn, so we could get paid. I want to get paid too. Let's get paid together, but let's not pussyfoot around it. I'm going to make my own joy. I love wrestling, and there are things I know are going to be bright spots. Ali, Macklin, Slater. But is it worth feeling that at any moment, well, you just jazzed up, we're going to take it off of Leon Slater and put it on Shawn Michaels. And the jazz this up, we're going to take it off the Hardys and put it on Hank and Tank. You know, like at some point, something's got to give. Something's got to give. And I'm new to TNA, so I'm new to this. This is my real first LOL TNA moment. So I want to hang out, but how many times? And I think that every TNA fan has this happen at least once, twice, or three times a lady, if you will.
We've seen it. Someone saying, take 2 weeks off in August, do the post shows until Bound for Glory, and then it'd be a good note to close the chapter. What's funny is we were talking about doing this with, what was it, Rebellion? No. Maybe it was Rebellion. We did this again. Where we said we're going to go until X show and then we were going to do the live show, and it was January, so it was Genesis. It was a shit with Joe Hendry. Had to have been.
Because like literally, this was their whole main event scene for the past year. Yeah, we're not going to give it to Joe. Joe's your champion. Give Joe someone good to wrestle. Kazarian, give Joe someone good to wrestle. Kazarian, bro, give someone, he lost the title.
Yeah, we went through this and we talked about it for months. But like you said, there are bright shining spots in TNA. There are a lot of wrestlers, a lot of talent, a lot of people backstage that, you know, that work extremely hard and want to do the best for this company. It's just very frustrating when you get to talking about the storylines of TNA and what's going on and what's not going on, that you really realize that the amount of care given doesn't seem to match the amount of care you hope they give. And that's a longer conversation. Now, it's not like Ring of Honor, who completely just shit the bed on their product and decided that they can just put together a show on like 2 weeks' notice. That was a shot at them. That was a shot.
Kate is going to get you.
That's fine. Gosh, not like we're already DMing each other really mean things all the time anyway. But what happens from here? Who knows? I think that this has become a turning point in creative, and I'm not talking about Turning Point TNA show. This has become a turning point in creative that we need to assess as to whether or not it's worth us continuing to talk about. There are people who are still on Tommy Dreamer and Delirious's neck about it. And I think to a certain degree, Carlos Silva is also catching flack. Whether or not it's warranted, well, that's up to you, the end user. We will figure it out. People saying, how about the women's pure title? It's coming, baby. It's coming. Although I do feel bad, but just because I'm going to cross over for a second, I do feel bad that they're like, we're going to introduce an interim Ring of Honor Women's Television Champion, and then the person who wins immediately got injured in the match. Oh, poor Mina Shirakawa.
Yo, some AEW belts are just cursed, because didn't that happen to the international title for the first three champions?
They all get hurt sometimes. It sucks. I hate it when champions get injured. I hate when anyone gets injured. But we can't do this title, so we're going to do this title. But now we have to do an interim title because this person. Anyway, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Are you guys mad you're not in charge of booking TNA? No, I don't want to be booking TNA. They've seen enough of my ideas, and I've said things to them in jest.
Never want me to book TNA because the meatiest people would come out and slap each other every week.
Some people might actually like that.
That would be the whole program. What are we doing this week again? What do you mean Jake something's main eventing again?
When you arrive, talent, you must be lined up from meatiest to least meatiest.
from meatiest to lean beef to beef jerky. I'm trying to see it all.
And when we get to the end of the line, that's when we'll have, those will be the matches for Explosion. But then we know who the main event will be. The meatiest cuts will have the main event. This is a cow show now.
Yo, it would be, you know what you get in every week. It'd be the Big E special. Everyone, meat, from men to women. You don't want to bleed? Fine, but you will chop.
Moon-packed.
Moon-packed. Moon-packed.
All right. Well, listen, we've crossed the hour threshold. They've had enough of our time. Whether we'll be back next week, who knows? But Chris is here tomorrow, so why don't you tell him what's the dealio?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. I know this was required as on your email that you got threatening termination from me, Cresta Star. If you don't want to get terminated again, tomorrow I'll be doing a guest appearance with my good friend, my co-COO to the HR of Fightful, Kate. We will be covering SmackDown. This is my first time covering SmackDown with you guys, so be nice to me or else you will be getting termination letters. Besides that, on Saturday, I'm pulling triple duty. What am I, SP3? I'll be here covering for AEW Collision as well. Sunday, I'm off. Monday, I'm in my house. And Tuesday, I'm also in my house. If you want more Cresta Star, you can go ahead and follow me on all forms of social media. Cresta Star, CrestaStarr, with the exception of X, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. Go ahead and donate to the channel. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Subscribe to Cresta Star. Your butt looks nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. I hope you win the X Division Championship in 2058. Joe Pearl, where can the people find you?
Before I do this, does this guy remember when Sean spent an entire show dunking on your dumbass? I'm not doing this again. Stop it with the, oh, they don't book it your way, so you're upset. They've fucked their own fan base, and I'm not getting into it again. Everybody here has heard us talk about it. I've talked about it on In the Weeds, which is the show that I host Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Fightful Overbooked. You can go and check that out. And also the Slammiversary post show that Cresta was there for the end, but Steven Jensen and I did this past Sunday. So go watch that. Go watch the stuff we've been talking about for the last week about TNA, and you'll find out why you, sir, made another stupid foot in your mouth comment. But of course, while you're at it, leave a thumbs up on the video. I don't care what that guy does. I just don't. But you do whatever you want. Go enjoy the wrestling you want to watch and go figure yourselves out, because I love you all, except for that dork who decided to be a dork right at the end of the show and just be stupid about it. For Cresta, you know who I am. You know who she is. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers. Except for that dork.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.